نؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سيأتي على الناس زمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله المولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable and respected elders and brothers in Islam. A few leaders of the mushrikeen, the disbelievers of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to some type of agreement, some sulah, some compromise. It is mentioned there, Ubay ibn Ka'b's name, and a few others, Asif ibn Wail, and one or two others. They came on behalf of all the disbelievers to make this proposal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are inviting to your one God, your one Allah. If we believe in so many different idols, why don't we come to some agreement? So in one narration of Ibn Abbas, it comes like this, that first they offered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the wealth. They will give you all the money in the world. Whatever you want, you name the amount, we'll give it to you. And the second thing they said, we'll make you our leader also. In one narration it comes that they offered wealth and they offered woman, that we'll marry you to the most beautiful woman of your choice. But what is the condition? That you don't invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't talk about one Allah and don't talk bad about our idols. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused this offer, they went one step further to say that, okay, if you want to worship your Allah, then let's come to this agreement that 1 year we all will worship your Allah, and the following year you and every one of your followers must worship our idols. And like that we'll alternate every year. And then it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he refused that offer, then they offered him a third proposal. That, okay, if you don't want to accept this, at least what you should do, what you can do for us is, just pass your hands over our idols. That much only. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to believe anything. Just pass your hands over our idols. It is mentioned that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed these verses of Surah Kafirun. Allah commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, O disbelievers, all you disbelievers, La abudu ma ta'budun. With regards to what you are worshipping, I do not worship that. Wala antum abiduna ma abud. And neither are you worshipping that, being that zat that Allah who I worship. And then again these ayats are repeated, these two ayats are repeated. Wala ana abidun ma abadtum, wala antum abiduna ma abud. Ulama explained that the first two times it comes, the first time these ayat come, it comes to say that presently I don't worship what you worship and neither are you worshipping what I am worshipping. And when it's repeated, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them for the future also, that listen very attentively. The command of Allah is to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, listen carefully. For the future also, I'm not going to worship what you worshipping. And knowing you people, you are also not going to accept my Allah. So, lakum deenukum waliyadeen. You have your deen, whatever you worship, how you worship, you will be answered who I worship, it's my for my account. So the kuffar realized that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that Nabiya Pak alayhi salatu was salam was not prepared to budge even one bit. In the early days of Islam, when the kuffar were persecuting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tremendously, causing taklif, harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then all of the same three things, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, that go and tell your nephew that he must leave out inviting to one Allah. Don't speak about the greatness of one Allah. We don't believe in that, na'udzubillah. We believe that there are other gods that are doing as well. And why not they had God for every little occasion of theirs. If they wanted rain, they had a separate God. If they wanted it to be hot, they would call to another God. If they wanted children, they would call out another God. They had gods for everything. So for them, it was not making sense. أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدًا. All these gods, so many gods, you're making them into one Allah, one God. إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. This is very, very strange. So they told Rasulullah ﷺ, they offered him three things again, that we'll make you our leader, we'll give you the most amount, whatever wealth you desire, you name the price, we'll give it to you, and we'll get you married to the most beautiful woman of Makkah al-Mukarramah. On that occasion, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned those beautiful words, that if you put the sun in my one hand, in my right hand, and you put the moon in my left hand, and you ask me to renounce and to leave out that mission for which Allah Rabbul Izzat sent me, then listen now, let it be clear from now till the end that I am not prepared to do so. Now, beloved brothers, let each one of us ask ourselves that deen, that Islam, that way of life, those beliefs which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood so firmly for, he never budged an inch, he never let go, he never compromised, not even once, when he came to the matters of deen. How much of it, beloved friends, you and I are prepared to destroy with our own hands? We have seen it destroyed with our family's hands, right in front of our eyes, and yet it does not affect our heart. That pure deen, that pure way of life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, that pure way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the system of Islam that's in place, how much of it do we have doubts regarding that in our minds? Do we not understand, do we not realize that every condition that comes on the ummah, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Behind every single thing is the control and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's hailing in one part of the world, whether it's floods in another part of the world, whether it's extreme heat in another part of the world, or whether it's animals dying in another part of the world, nothing is beyond the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's a person's personal life, how he prospers in this dunya, or whether he is going through some difficulty, or he's got everything at his call and beck, and everything is at his command, whatever the circumstances, behind every single thing is the command and the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To me, waraqatin illa ya'lamuha, wala habbatin fi zulumatil ard, wala ratbin, wala yabisin illa fi kitabin mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums it up so beautifully that not a single leaf falls off a tree. We know now when the winds blow, or when it's autumn, thousands and thousands of leaves just in a small area. Imagine the whole world, not a falls off any tree, except it is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How perfect and complete is his knowledge. There is no seed in the darknesses of the earth. There is nothing that is fresh, old, that is stale, that is withering away, that is come to the end of its life, except that it is in the complete knowledge and then written in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My beloved friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a person in this dunya through tests. This is guaranteed. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. What do the people think, that they will say we are believers and Allah is not going to test them? Allah will definitely test them. As Allah tested the people of the past, Allah wants to see how firm are we on our iman, how firm are we on our deen, how firm are we on our sunnahs. Oh, a small something will happen in our life and we are prepared to let go of the sunnah and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, in the name of various things, to bring the people onto some united platform, or to take them and to reach onto a certain deen, and to try to legalize so many other things, so many times we have to compromise our deen. Let us ask ourselves, Leave those people who are promoting it and whatever. Let us ask ourselves, is this what Rasulullah wanted for his ummah? Is this what Allah is? That time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than 60 years ago, when the surah was revealed, that in terms of deen, matters of deen, where there's going to be compromise, there is absolutely no chance and there's no scope for us. We have our Allah, all powerful, most powerful, and they believe in idols made of stone, Devi who has passed on, who has moved on from the dunya. They believe in some book which is totally fabricated in today's time. Few verses maybe there'll be of the origin, of its origin. And we have our Quran Sharif which is absolutely 100% true, 100% haq in its pristine form as it was revealed. With no changes, not even a slight change we compromise. Can we exchange? Can we barter? Can we come onto some agreement? And the disbelievers, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him, that, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you speaking about one Allah. Who is Allah? Have any parents, any children? Who was his father, mother? What is he made of? Is he made of some gold or diamond or some stone or jewel or ruby or something?" And Allah reveals another surah, one of the other quls. This is Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, we read, and Allah revealed, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. That telling the disbelievers and making the iman of the Muslims and the Sahaba strong, and for us till Qiyamah, to make our iman strong, to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have Allah and His Rasul in our life, there is no need for us for anything else, or for anybody else. Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. That say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Allah. You want to know who is Allah? He is Allah. Ahad. Absolutely one. There is no partners with Him. Ahad. Allah could have used the word wahid. Wahid means one. Ahad also means, literally means one. But there's a slight difference, Mufassirin explain. There's a slight difference between Ahad and Wahid. Allah says Ahad. Indivisible. Nothing before, nothing after. Unique. If you said one, like, no, maybe two, maybe something else, maybe someone like him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَا نَظِيرَ وَلَا مِثْلَ وَلَا مُمَاثَلَ. No likeness, no resemblance, no, it is our Allah. And is our Allah still insufficient for us that we must compromise? And if we think our Allah is not doing enough, Allah says, Allahu Samad. To run all the affairs of this world, beloved friends, how much rain must send down where? How much of sickness must give to which family? Whose life must take away in which way? Whose business must prosper? Whose business must go down? Whose business must close down? Who must have so many children and how many children? Allah does not need anybody in His life. Allah does not need anybody at any stage. Allahu Samad. Allah is absolutely independent. And the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 100% dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every given step of our life, beloved friends, those that are chanting the slogans of one ummah and one nation and one deen, they 100% dependent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our Allah, He does not need anybody to make that sun rise, to make that sun set, to make the winds blow, to make the day and night alternate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anybody. Allahu Samad. Then they were asking about who is Allah's father, mother, or any children He's got. Lam yalid. He does not give birth. He has not given birth to anyone. Does not give birth to anyone. He does not beget. Walam yulad. Not begotten as well. No one has given birth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is from the beginning. Awwal awwal wal akhir wal zahir wal batin. He is the first. He is the end also. Akhir. There is nothing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Allah. So lam yalid walam yulad. And then if you think, okay, Allah does, but He has supporters, but He has helpers, but He has assistants, but someone is like Him, but there is someone under Him to help Him, to guide Him, to advise Him. Na'udhu billah, Allah says, walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is no match, there is no likeness, there is no one resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one that dealt with. That is our Allah. Allah gave us this beautiful deen, beloved friends. This deen-e-Islam, and the fitnas that are coming, our protection is only lies in the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The commands of Allah and the way of life of Rasulullah. Whatever fitna will come, beloved friends, and fitna will come one after the other till Qiyamah, like the Hasallam, قَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُزْلِمِ. How the night, slowly, you don't realize it. Portion of the night, one after the other. Darkness, just suddenly, it was sun. 1 hour later, you see total darkness. And like the hadith says, like the example is given of that tasbih, that the string is broken, and how the beads of the tasbih, one after the other, and then after half an hour, another bead will drop, and after another 1 hour, maybe another bead will drop. One after the other, in quick succession, before a person knows it, that entire tasbih is in. There is no name of the tasbih also. That is where Rasulullah s.a.w. warned us, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. That soon a time is going to come on this ummah. Soon a time is going to come on this ummah. That regards to Islam, nothing will remain except the name of Islam. We'll see this is a Muslim this, and Muslim that, and Muslim that. But there will be nothing Islamic about it. It will be given halal names, but there will be nothing halal about it. It may be approved by some people, but there will be nothing halal about that thing. Only the name Islam will be used. But regard the spirit of Islam, the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be totally void of it. Today is so apparent in our times. So apparent. Every way you look, you will find the name of Islam is being used, but you delve into that thing, how much of Islam is really in that thing? How much of Muslims are in that thing? And wala min al-kitabi illa rasmuhu, that the Quran Sharif will just be left to its lines, to its letters that is written there. How much of it is in our lives? Today, beloved friends, the deen of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is important, but it's not for me. That sunnah is for that person. That command of Allah is for someone else. Me, alhamdulillah, I'm happy on my deen. But the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that how the sunnah and the deen of Allah must go and spread far and wide in the entire world. Sahaba made sacrifices for that. Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam gave their lives for the deen. Sahaba sacrificed. Today, what can we present ourselves in the court of Allah would and say, oh Allah, that for the deen, when your deen was being trampled, when your deen was being ridiculed in the world, and this is what I stood up and stood firm and I never let go of your command. Is there anything that we can take and present in Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Commands of the Quran Sharif so clear, yet we want to bring ideas to introduce and to compromise and to amend and to make it we are in another age, in a space Allah was revealed in a camel age, so it's not applicable to us. Is that the reality? Is that the thinking of a Muslim? Wallahi, beloved brothers, if we have Allah with us and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not need anybody, we do not need anything else in our lives. We don't need an outsider to come and tell us how much of our deen is important and how much is not important, and where we can compromise and where we don't have to compromise. There's no need for that. Why? Because we ourselves will realize the importance of deen, we'll realize what is necessary, we'll realize that how much a person's practicing on deen is for whose benefit? It is for his own benefit. A person who practices deen doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one bit. Allah is the greatest, the highest, there is nothing beyond. If the entire creation in the hadith mafhum all get together and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not increase the value, the position, the grandeur, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is absolutely complete and perfect. And in the same token, if the entire world gets together from the beginning till the end till Qiyamah, and they try to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become like the most disobedient of Allah, the worst person, it will not even decrease the grandeur, the value, the position, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one bit, because Allah is absolutely perfect. Now who we want to fool, beloved friends? We've got that Allah. We've got that Allah on our side. If we become obedient to Him, He becomes ours. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lah. We become Allah's, Allah become ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, beloved friends, to protect ourselves from these fitnas that are coming, and they're coming in such succession and such rapid speed, we have to be particular about. One is, do not disobey the faraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be punctual about the faraid. Secondly, attempt to bring every sunnah into our lives. Sometimes we overlook a sunnah. Sometimes we learn in a madrasa, this sunnah is sunnah muakkada, and this sunnah is sunnah ghair muakkada. These are all the terminologies of the muhaddithin and the mufassirin and the fuqaha in special, that this is what they graded the hadith for. But in regards to us making amal, then we should all try to bring every sunnah as much as we can into our lives. Let's all say inshallah we'll do that. Don't underestimate, never underestimate any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself who practiced upon it. Thirdly, beloved friends, for to our homes, it should be every one of us, we should have a time set in our homes where we have some ta'lim of the fazail kitabs, some ta'lim that is we read from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not story books that we read about this person's history and that all a person can read individually, but sit together as a family unit and read from the virtues of salah, virtues of zikr, virtues of ilm, read from these fadail, so that the desire is created in our children also to practice upon deen. Beloved friends, if this is our fort, if we are not going to build this fort and maintain this fort, then the fitna that we're speaking about in quick succession, then our homes will become the targets. And the other thing, beloved friends, is our children's tarbiyat, it is the responsibility of every parent. It's not that it must be left or maktab apa or the madrasa that they attend. That is secondly. Primarily, it's our responsibility. It's our children. We are responsible about them. We are responsible for them. We are responsible for the tarbiyat. We are sure that the correct ideologies, the correct ideas, the correct Islam is being brought into their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is much more also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. My beloved friends, like some parts of the world, the Muslims are suffering. It is our duty to make dua for them as well. There are some parts of the world, they are under water for many, many days. The people are under difficulties. So, alhamdulillah, our masjid has made some arrangements for some collection for them. So, let us all, inshallah, open up our hearts, open our pockets. At the end of the day, Muslims, we are one united body. One part of the world, someone suffers, it affects us all. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah.